Well, thanks for the invitation to speak at this meeting today, and thank you, Alec. I want to start off by saying I'm neither an entomologist or an epidemiologist. I'm primarily a person who applies the techniques of molecular biology to microbiology. So, but with that caveat, I'm going to talk a little bit today about detection of pathogens in insects and the applications of multiplex PCR assays to that type of approach. Oh, sorry. So, if you look at the statistics for the war on cancer, National Cancer Institute trends, you can see that the time to diagnosis of cancer is falling, mortality is falling, and survival is rising. So I would say that we're definitely winning the war on cancer due to these, at least from gathered information from these trends. However, if you look at the latest World Health Organization report, I believe we are losing the war on infectious disease. If you look at excerpts from Chapter 2 of the 2007 WHO World Health Report, for example, today's highly mobile, interdependent, and interconnected world provides myriad of opportunities for the rapid spread of infectious diseases. Infectious diseases are now spreading geographically much faster than at any time in history. It's estimated that 2.1 billion airline passengers travel in 2006, and an outbreak or epidemic in any one part of the world is only a few hours from becoming an imminent threat somewhere else. Infectious diseases are not only spreading faster, they appear to be emerging more quickly than ever before. Since the 1970s, newly emerging diseases have been identified at an unprecedented rate of one or more per year. There are now nearly 40 diseases that were unknown a generation ago. And in addition, during these last 5 years, the World Health Organization has verified more than 11,000 epidemic events worldwide. So some of the reasons involved with this increase in emerging and re-emerging infectious diseases are population shifts and growth of the overall population, changes in human behavior, agriculture and food practices, the increasing urbanization, people moving together and more crowding in urban areas, changes in our ecology and climate due to global warming, among many things. Also the evolution of microorganisms, which are always evolving to escape selection pressure, and also advances in modern medicine, which lead to more people that are susceptible, that are, for example, immunosuppressed. Modern travel and trade have the capability to spread infectious diseases much more rapidly, and animal migration and relocation of animals. And finally, the inadequacy of public infrastructure in many areas. This is a geographic location of major outbreaks of infectious disease from 1996 to 2001 from the World Health Organization. 20 of the 44 outbreaks were insect-borne diseases. Those included outbreak of West Nile in the United States, a Lyme disease, dengue in South and Central America, Venezuelan equine encephalitis in South America and Mexico, yellow fever in South America, yellow fever in Africa, West Nile in Italy, malaria, Rift Valley fever outbreaks, dengue, Ouangoing fever. So there are definitely a large number of these new epidemic outbreaks are arbovirus or vectored infectious diseases. Some of the diseases, in addition to malaria, such as yellow fever, dengue fever, and Japanese encephalitis, West Nile virus, and Rift Valley fever, are certainly diseases to be reckoned with. Yellow fever, which was largely confined to Africa and South America, there are estimated 200,000 cases of yellow fever. Dengue fever, its incidence has increased 30-fold and is still rising. Japanese encephalitis is a viral disease that infects both humans and animals. West Nile virus is a disease of note in the United States in the last few years, has rapidly spread across the entire United States. And Rift Valley fever is a disease that infects both livestock and humans, so it is potentially a zoonotic disease if it was ever introduced into the United States. The number of different mosquito species, there are over 25,000 different species of mosquitoes throughout the world, and 200 species in the United States. There are a large number of species even within California. However, although there are many different species of mosquito, the variation in the ability to transmit infectious diseases varies with mosquito species. For example, if you look at the last column, percent risk of transmission, for Culex pipiens, the percent risk of transmission of West Nile is 80%, but for the Quinx species, it's only about 0.5%. So knowing the species of mosquito that has West Nile is important in identifying the risk. Now the process for mosquito surveillance, as I have looked into it, and as I said, I'm not an entomologist or an expert in the area, but follows this basic outline. People trap the mosquito by light or gravid trap. They collect the mosquitoes and return them to the lab for analysis. They sort the mosquitoes by species and whether or not they contain a blood meal. They pool individuals of the same species, extract and run molecular diagnostic assays on them, such as PCR. They run individual PCR tests for each virus to be identified, and they repeat these as needed during the season. Using this information, they are guided as to how to apply pesticides, and they use this information to notify the public. And also, this is supplemented sometimes with bird mortality in the case of West Nile virus. The mosquito surveillance process in diagrammatic form looks like this. This is a gravid trap or a light trap where the mosquitoes are trapped. A person is physically assigned to sorting out all the different mosquito species using a microscope. The species of the same type are pooled and tested for all of these different viruses. And then this testing could need to be repeated on a regular basis depending on how much sampling needs to be done. So I want to propose an alternative approach. Well, first I should talk about the downside of this process. The process is obviously not high throughput. You can't do large, huge numbers of samples this way. It's very labor intensive. The process is inefficient as you need a separate test for each of the viruses. The process is dangerous in that people are potentially exposed to insects that are carrying a new introduction of a disease such as Rift Valley fever. The process, because it is less efficient, means less information and a slower response. And less efficiency means higher costs and less information. So the alternative that I would like to propose is using a new technology multiplex PCR test. In a multiplex PCR, you can simultaneously identify the mosquito using a PCR DNA test. You can identify the blood meal using a different PCR DNA test. And you can identify the viruses present using multiple RNA PCR tests. And all of these tests can be done simultaneously in a single sample. Counting up all of these different tests, there would be approximately 15 PCR tests that would be needed to test this sample. So at Lawrence Livermore National Labs, we've been working for the last couple of years on developing these multiplex PCR assay tests that can simultaneously test for DNA and RNA in a single sample. They are envisioned in the following way. You use 18 different PCR primer sets. The forward primer of every one of the PCR reactions is labeled. This is combined with a sample that can contain potentially any one of these seven different viruses. The PCR, if it's positive, produces a labeled PCR product, and then each of the PCR products is identified by being hybridized to a different bead that is specific for that PCR product. So in this test, there is a PCR product for foot and mouth disease, and it is detected by hybridization to this bead that is identified with a coding system. So the beads are identified by their composition of red or orange fluorescence. If they have a high level of red fluorescence, then you could consider the bead having a code of 1 if it had entirely red fluorescence. If it had entirely orange fluorescence, then it would have a code of 100 associated with it. And the ratio of red to orange fluorescence gives numbers between 1 and 100 associated with these beads. Then the beads, as I said, are hybridized to the labeled PCR product, and the individual PCR product is identified by being associated with a particular bead of a particular code. So this tells you that the if you have a labeled PCR product associated with, for example, the bead for FMDV, that foot and mouth disease virus is present in this assay. Likewise, if you have a labeled PCR product associated with swine vesicular disease, then you would know that virus is present. And this is a simultaneous assay that does reverse transcription to amplify all of the RNA, and then does PCR to amplify all of the DNA and the cDNA in one sample. So, to look at this in molecular detail, you have a probe that's conjugated to a particular bead with a particular number. This probe binds to the labeled strand of the PCR product to identify that. But these multiplex assays use beads, which can also be coupled to antibodies instead of oligonucleotides, or they can be coupled to antigens for the identification of antibodies. So this approach is a very flexible approach that can use that can be adapted for detection of antigens, antibodies, or nucleic acids. This just talks a little bit more about the experimental approach using the coded array of beads. So you have 100 beads, again, having different ratios of red and orange dye. Each one of the beads can be conjugated to a different detector. In this case, it would be, for the molecular assays, an oligonucleotide that would hybridize to a PCR product. But you can put antibodies or antigens on these beads. And then the beads associate with whatever their target is. It can be a PCR product, or an antigen, or an antibody. And then that association has a label on it. And the beads go through the system, and one laser identifies that the bead is one of these numbers in the matrix, and the other laser identifies that the target molecule, the PCR product, antibody, or antigen, has been associated with the bead. So some of the beads will go through and have no analyte associated with them, but they'll still be classified as a particular reaction that was negative. So the proof is in the actual doing. This is an actual assay, multiplex assay, that we've developed. It is for these 11 different agricultural animal diseases. And the number of PCR reactions that we're running is in this column under loci. So 2 PCR reactions for foot and mouth disease, all the way up to 4 PCR reactions for blue tongue virus and vesicular stomatitis virus. Their nucleic acids range from single-stranded DNA to double-stranded DNA to double-stranded RNA, and they're all being detected simultaneously in one reaction in real time. The limit of detection for these, as you had heard earlier, limits of detection for West Nile virus, the range of limit of detection is due to the fact that there are different serotypes of, for example, foot and mouth disease virus. There are 7 serotypes. But we have a range of sensitivity as low as 1/1000th of an infectious virus particle, all the way up to 1 infectious virus particle. So we're able to do single infectious virus particle detection in almost every case. And as I said, this is a simultaneous detection. So we're detecting all of these target analytes, all these viruses, at the same time. So that is not the only of these multiplex panels we've developed. We've developed all of these different multiplex panels, agricultural disease panels, which have been developed by myself, a preliminary DNA and RNA 18-plex, a DNA and RNA bovine disease-specific 27-plex, which I just talked about. We've developed a viral RNA porcine 23-plex, an influenza A 41-plex assay. And then for human disease panels, we developed a bacterial biodefense DNA-only panel, which is a 22-plex, and a viral DNA and RNA panel for respiratory viruses, which is an 11-plex. So all of these multiplex assays have recently been developed by Lawrence Livermore. In addition, another researcher at Livermore Labs has developed a viral antibody detection assay, which is an 8-plex. Also, we have demonstrated the ability of this assay to be used in the field. The assay can be used in 96-well plate format in PCR plates. This is a demonstration of a capability to scale the assay up in 96-well plate format to be processed. The demonstration showed that we could take samples from the field, we could barcode them along with associated field sample information, which was entered into a tablet PC. This data could be then uploaded to a data router. The sample information then, the sample would go to the laboratory and be scanned at the laboratory. All the samples would be arrayed onto 96-well plates. Two robots would do the DNA and RNA extraction, purification, and PCR amplification. And then the second robot would do the hybridization to the beads and then go on to a BioPlex instrument which read out the reactions and paired up the information about this sample with the field data that was input. Using this system, we were able to demonstrate that you could process 1,000 of these tests in a 10-hour day using one technician and oversight. So this assay is not only able to multiplex tests, but you're able to run a large number of tests in a single day in the event of a zoonotic disease outbreak. And not only can this PCR, this multiplex PCR be done that allows for insect speciation and blood meal identification, but the collection system, if you don't like the laboratory-based approach, can also be automated on an instrument. So Livermore Labs has developed aerosol collection instruments that have been used for a long time for human biothreat detection. Basically, this is a standalone instrument that draws in air on a regular basis. The air impinges on a liquid that is in a cyclonic collector up here. The liquid is sampled on a regular basis every 2 hours. And then this multiplex PCR assay is run on the liquid, determining whether there are multiple pathogens present in the sample. And so this autonomous pathogen detection system has been demonstrated and is being used for aerosol collection and multiple pathogen detection for human biothreat work. However, this instrument is obviously could be adapted for other purposes. Oh, and this just talks about the fact that what you have with the instrument is the ability to stagger the samples. So you do aerosol collection with sample 1, and then you do the multiplex PCR test with sample 1. This takes about 4 hours in time. Then you do aerosol collection for sample 2 and a PCR test for sample 2 in another 2 hours of time. So this instrument can wirelessly relay information back to a location and can be stocked with reagents so that it can run this 2-hour test for a period of a week's worth of time in the field. The idea that I envision is pairing this instrument with some kind of a insect collection system so that you can pair the autonomous multiplex PCR with an ability to collect and identify insects. So the presentation by earlier by a company that was talking about trapping systems and the fact that he was saying the disadvantage of PCR was that you couldn't run it in the field, we've developed instrumental applications that do allow you to run multiplex, not only PCR, but multiplex PCR in the field. So in summary, the spread of infectious diseases is obviously an ever-growing concern. The tests and instruments for the identification and reporting of infectious diseases can obviously be improved. Mosquito-borne diseases are a growing concern due to many factors, including global warming. This multiplex PCR approach can be used to improve the collection of arbovirus disease information. The multiplex PCR can be used to reduce the time for reporting of new disease introductions. We believe it can be used in a high throughput process of 1,000 samples per day. It can also be used with new instrumentation in an automated sampling process that would do field autonomous sample collection, processing, and data reporting. And we're urgently seeking collaborators and funding for this effort, as the pathogens are not waiting, so neither should we. Thank you very much. Yes.
What do you see the prospects for commercialization, the timeline for this kind of thing? You say so it's going to be both what virus put it in, what virus has it taken by the virus?
So I had originally thought that this was a 2 to 4 year project, but hadn't known about some of the other techniques that people have developed to trap insects and to autonomously determine what type of insect it is. I think if you teamed our existing multiplex assays with that type of instrument, you could have a fieldable instrument in a 1 to 2 year time frame. So I think, you know, what I was originally thinking is that this is about a 4 year process. If you had to develop all the systems for attracting the insects and identifying each one by species, but as a collaborative effort, it might take a lot less time than that. The multiplex assay development process, for example, we've been getting better and better at. Originally, it took us about a year to develop a multiplex test. That was reduced to 6 months, and the last test that we've developed, which is 38 PCR reactions, we've developed in about a 3 month time period. So, yeah.
You said you're getting better at that. Why are you getting better at it?
Because we understand our laboratory processes of assembling all these PCR reactions better. So that's mainly our processes of putting together all the PCR reactions are getting more efficient and speeding up. I think there was a question over here.
Yeah, I think the peripheral detection is being clarified. Are you currently working on animals with a serum and tick-borne disease?
We're not at the moment. However, we have some proposals in to do multiplex assays for arboviruses, but we don't currently have any projects that we're working on to do that. Question?
What's the approximate cost per sample for your multiplex?
So, yeah, obviously these assays, if some of them are developed for agricultural purposes, they can't be cost prohibitive. So we did a cost analysis of what it would take from a swab sample to do the extraction, the PCR, and the end-to-end. With all of those reagents, it's about a $6 test per sample. So.
The instrument that you're using, the BioPlex?
Yes.
And is that similar to something else I heard about today, the Luminex?
Yeah, BioPlex and Luminex are versions of the same instrument. BioPlex is sold by Bio-Rad and has certain software that makes it for us a more usable instrument, but the Luminex instrument it has the same capabilities, it just has different software. Yes?
I'm not sure I quite understood this, but let's say you're trapped 10 different species of mosquitoes. You basically don't ID those, but you throw them through procedure. How does the test distinguish which species was positive?
It depends on whether you're doing pooling or whether you're doing individual insects. If you're doing pooling, you have the potential to identify simultaneously all the different insects present in the pool. If you're doing individual insects, obviously you don't have that problem. Then you would be running multiple genetic tests, but you would only have one result. So,
as a follow-up to that question, let's say in North America, Culex pipiens is a complex typically. We have difficulty telling them apart. If you threw in a pool of Culex pipiens with this assay, can you tell what proportion were Culex pipiens pipien versus Culex pipiens trichophasiatus, or do you simply get a hit? You have pipiens and trichophasiatus.
If you can genetically discriminate amongst them, then you should be able to tell proportions of them within a limit. I would say if you had a 50-50 mix, then it would be difficult to discriminate. But orders of magnitude tenfold differences, you probably should be able to tell.
So 80-90% of one species versus 10%, you would see a difference on the Luminex assay in terms of the brightness of the
reaction. I believe so. Mm-hmm.